You know, when God begins a work in us, He doesn't do it the way we would think. But He's unique.
So, Lord, we come before You, believing that You have a plan that's unfolding in our lives and in the house of prayer as well. There are no accidents with You. And when we come before You, we submit ourselves to obey, to do the best we can in the circumstances we are in. So we ask that You would just release ears and hearts to hear and really eyes to see what Your Spirit is saying to us this morning in Jesus' name. I'd like to take you to a scripture in Matthew. And it's really chapter 2. So, you'll go to Matthew chapter 2. I believe the Lord wants us to recognize the season. And, by the way, how many of you would like to go on a nice long journey, vacation type? Well, the only one that's getting provision so far is Bob. Well, oh, Bob will share. Now you heard it as a witness. So we're all going on a vacation with Bob. You know, the Christmas story doesn't end with His birth. It's a beginning. God was creating a man out of His word, because He sent His word among us. But the fruits of that word, being in the earth, is what I'd like you to kind of concentrate on this morning. And it's similar to when the word comes in you and I. When there's a beginning of the word coming in us, there's a bunch of reactions that happen. And those reactions are not always comfortable. And they were not comfortable for the first family. This morning as I walked in, I was pressed to get the kings and put them out there. And the Lord said, make sure I lift up Mary and Joseph and the baby. Well, I want you to take a look at verse 11. Because we're going to concentrate out of tradition, out of the box. Because I think we all have pictures in our mind of movies and replicas of the manger scene, etc., etc., and much of it is tradition. But there's a word in this verse 11 that I want you to see. These are the kings. And in verse 11 it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Now, the reality that they were in a house tells you that they weren't in the fields anymore. And as I was concentrating on that, I said, Lord, what are You trying to get at? He said, I'm trying to get you to understand the mindset of a Jewish family. Now, most of you may not realize, but Bethlehem, if you find out what the meaning of the word is, it's really house of bread. That's what the word Bethlehem means. So now, if you're going to send living bread into the earth, where are you going to send it? But to the house of bread. He was releasing His bread into the earth, which was Christ. And He had to be born as a lamb in the field. And you know, a lot of times, we don't understand that even the choice of Bethlehem was preordained by God. And when the sacrifice was prepared, there were sacrificial lambs that were born, but they were not born in Jerusalem. They were actually bred, cared for, and born in Bethlehem. So for years and years, Bethlehem was known as the place where the sacrificial lamb for the Passover feast would be born. They couldn't be born anywhere else because they would not be accepted or maybe known to be totally clean, if that makes sense. Because that sacrificial lamb that was offered at Passover had to be perfect. It had to be a controlled environment. The people that were caring for them, even making sure that all the details were carried out, all of that was part of the ritual that took place in Bethlehem. So that's why God was very precise with his son. He had to be born right there. So now, verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Has been born. So they know it's already taken place. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, when you were born inside of me, the King of the earth knew that the Word was coming alive inside of me. And his deceptive ways would manifest. Nothing has changed. Verse 4. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, or the anointed one, was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that was part of the prophetic word. See, the prophet Micah had already declared that this would be a reality. So this is where they went. They went to the books that they had, or the scrolls, and they found where the word Bethlehem had been spoken. And obviously, now they connected the dots. Verse 7. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. There's your smile of your cat. Don't you think that cat was happy? He had had a confirmation that something was happening and a king was coming, or actually had come and been born in his district. I would see jealousy all over this guy. But a smile because somebody outside his country came and gave him a word. With signs and wonders following. Yes, the star was a sign in the heavens. So it wasn't just by accident that, you know, this king is now probably pretty happy. Ha-ha, I've got it. I've heard about this, but now I know. See, it's one thing to hear something, but when you have knowledge and you have confirmation from several kings or men of high stature, these were wise men, and they came as a group. So they came in harmony, not just by accident. Okay? Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Watch carefully now. Most Christians would say, why did God let them go and tell Herod the good news? If they hadn't gone over there, there would have been no persecution, no children would have been slaughtered, and we would have had a salvation message just the same. But you wouldn't have the clue that says that when his spirit comes into you, there will be repercussions, because the darkness will try to overwhelm the light. I should have heard an amen by now. When Christ came in me and the anointing came upon me, there was a transition that took place and persecution began. Am I the only one? Catching on? You know, if the pattern is here, it should show you, my God, nothing unusual is going on inside of me. You see? So God had a plan to give us an understanding. Yes, there will be persecution, but it will not fail the Most High God. He is not out of control. He's in control. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So the manifestation of the star was restored. Why did it stop showing up? Because there was something they needed to do. Where did they go? They went to the officials of the country. Where did the king go? He went to the prophets and the seers of that day. They didn't go to the local witchcraft. They went to the ones that knew the word. And even the king had a knowledge of going and researching by the ones that had knowledge. That was humility on his part, but he was a sneaky thief. Verse 11. On coming to the house, so he's no longer in the field, he's in a house. He's still in Bethlehem. We don't know exactly how old he was, but it's a possibility that he could be over a year. They saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts, gold, Bob, incense, and myrrh, which, by the way, were very expensive. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now you say, well, why would God provide these outsiders to bring in money, to bring in frankincense and myrrh, very precious items, and not use the king of that country to do that? Because sometimes those that know you will not support you. They know you too well. And you've just gone over the edge. You're a radical. So God will use someone from another kingdom to come in and bring you what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the trip. That's why Bob's getting some money. Verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night. Not normal. If you were a normal carpenter like this man, would you say he was wise? I would say he was wise. I would say he would be a very gentle gentleman, first of all, for having picked up Mary in spite of the process of all the garbage that was going on in her life. But the bottom line is He's taking off in the middle of the night. Now, under normal conditions, would you leave your house for a trip that's going to be quite long? And you've got the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. I mean, that's finances for the trip. Yes? If you look at this truth, then you know that it had to be something that that dream would not leave. See, there are times God will give you dreams and they won't leave. They will activate something within you. And you may end up doing something and start doing it in the middle of the night just to obey. How many know what I'm talking about? Thank you. Why? Because there's a press. And you know that if you don't do it, something terrible may happen. You know, I said, Lord, why do you want me to go in this picture today? He said, because it's happening now. It's happening now. There are some that have been under tremendous pressure and have survived year after year of pressure, and you're still here. This gives you an opportunity to teach others later on. And I truly believe without a shadow of a doubt that when Joseph was out of the region and he heard the news about the slaughter in that city, what do you think he said to his sweetheart Mary? Got out just in time. Do you think Mary was ready to leave on the word from a dream? Not with a baby, maybe kind of upset, maybe with an emotional problem. Why can't we leave tomorrow morning like normal people? Well, come on. I mean, do I have to take a plane at 4 a.m.? No. Let's schedule something around maybe 10 or 11. Are you listening to your flesh or my flesh? Do you understand where I'm coming from? These people were normal. They had flesh. And a lot of times we don't take the lessons seriously enough. And I wanted to make sure, because the Lord said, make sure that they know that when it's time for you to escape a problem, he will make provision. He will make provision. See, if it happened to these that had the seed of life in and in front of them, close your eyes for a moment. Say, the seed of life is inside of me. His name is Christ Jesus. And he knows how to keep me safe. And if he's got to get me out of town, he's going to provide. Just like he's doing for Bob. Ah. Now, I don't know if Bob's going to California, but, you know, that might be a treat. Hear me when I say this. You know, a lot of times the words of knowledge that come, we give them light weight because we're looking at our emotions and our circumstances. But I can tell you this, God's not fooled by what we're going through. He's not worried about how he's going to get us out of our problem. He's just looking for us to keep our eyes on him. He's looking for me to keep my eyes on him. And when Joseph kept his eyes on Mary and the child, got out of town on time, provision was provided, the rest is history. I'd like to give you just a little tiny bit more. Again, I'm going to repeat verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. Stay there until I tell you. Stay there until I tell you. Not till you feel like coming home. So he's not going to depend on your emotion. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled the Lord, what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Holy Spirit, make sure that I don't miss the boat. Make sure that I obey you as best that I need to, so that the welfare of the seed that's inside of me, which is Christ in me, my hope of glory, will reach my destination, and the victory will be complete, and God will be glorified. Because you see, the real victory is when Christ is formed in us, we will act and react like him. We will be responding to dreams and visions. We will be responding to all the things that need to be done so that we won't miss God's perfect plan for our lives. Any additions? Some are born for what? Some are born for destruction, and we don't accept that because that's not our way of thinking. Do you think he took care of them on the other side? Yes, he did. But you see, a lot of times we don't comprehend that. We'd say, why didn't he protect all these little ones? You know, I had the same problem with why did he let 6 million Jews get slaughtered? Why? But he did. You know, a lot of times we have this mental picture that this life in the earth is so precious, and it is. I'm not trying to make light of it. But it's not the end. It's the beginning of our experience with God. And when we're born of the Spirit, we get a little deeper revelation of that as we go a little older. And when we grow a little older, we get a different perspective about what life is all about. And I was talking to someone who is older than I, and their comment was, I'm not worried about going home anymore because I know where I'm going and I know when I'm going. You say, okay. The fear of death has been dealt with. I'm not afraid to go home. So if God takes me home, it's not a problem. I'm going home. It's okay. The Lord allowed this person's daughter to read Psalms 23 because she had a knowledge that the breathing of her dad had adjusted. It wasn't the same. And she had been told, the people that were helping her had warned her, when his breathing changes, there's going to be an adjustment. So be aware that time could be short. Because this man was on dialysis for many years and no longer was it feasible to continue. So she knew he was going home. And he had his full faculties. So she got up. It was in the middle of the night because she had a press. And the press was to read Psalms 23. So she read, the Lord is my shepherd. And she waited and paused. And he would take a breath. Then she would read one more little part of the next stanza. And each time she said, his breath would be measured. When she got to the end of the song, she said he had a smile on his face. He took one more breath, and he was gone. And she said, of course, I cried because I was feeling sorry for myself. But she says, I knew there was joy in his heart. There was a peace that surpassed understanding. Why? because he knew where he was going. And he knew who was in charge. It was God himself that was in charge. The fear of death had been dealt with. The fear of the future was gone. There was a trust and a harmony and a knowledge of God. And his word was given out as he was slipping away.